Amphibians hopping your TARDISes. You're listening to another episode of Doctor Huh?
Oh, you like the Ood, huh? Name three of their albums.
Name three of them.
Theta Sigma.
No.
Fuck.
I'm your spaghetti slurper, Jordan.
I'm Sam, and I promise never to pull my head and mouth off.
That made a big impression, didn't it?
How could it not? What kind of freak would I have to be to watch that and just be like, okay.
You didn't like...
All right.
Ooh.
Just another episode.
Ooh.
Oh, well.
Boring. This week, we're watching Series 4, Episode 3, Planet of the Ood, written by Donna's father-in-law, Keith Temple.
That's the father-in-law. Worst. Sean Temple was her husband.
Yeah, and I'm saying Keith is his dad. In this fan fiction I'm creating, Keith Temple is a he's a blood mancer. He was born. His village was destroyed by Orochimaru, and he can control people's blood, and he has two swords. It's my original character,
Keith Temple, with High Priest Tyler.
And then it was directed by Graham Harper.
Graham.
This is our first episode with Donna Noble as companion.
It's our first episode of Series 4! Yay! That too. Everyone clap.
It's our first Donna with, like, 100 asterisks after it.
She's in it.
She's in it for real this
time.
She's
in it more than we've seen of her so far.
There she is. Did you like it?
I did like it. I like this episode. And, it's not the most, like, eye on Donna episode. But I like her.
Well, that you'll have to tune in for episode 7, Eye on Donna, which is where Donna gets eventually. An extra. She gets a big eyeball on.
Okay, great. That sounds like a good episode.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like this episode?
Oh, it was fucking trash, and I hated it. Just kidding. It was a good episode. I liked it.
You really got me.
It was an
epic troll.
A little joke where I make it sound like I hate the episode for a second, and then I tell you I like it.
You really went all in on the acting there.
Sort of a classic.
I had very strong feelings about this episode. I thought it was an absolute trash fire.
Not! There's no funnier joke than when you just lie.
This episode will go up on April Fool's Day. Just kidding, no it won't.
So, we had an arc with the Ood. We saw them all get killed in the Satan Pit.
What an arc.
And then we saw the them end. Make a... And they made a cool city, and they told the Doctor prophecies. And we said, how did they get there? This is how they got there.
It turns out they were from there.
It was their house.
I assumed that it was like, the Ood have found a home of their own. No, this is just where they are from.
This is their planet. I will say, I actually, when I was watching this, I had a lot of, like, memories coming back about this episode. Just about Ood and snow. Those are the things I remember. Mm. But now... I've seen it, and now I know that the Ood are from... Is it called the Ood Sphere? I was confused about this.
They call the planet the Ood Sphere. Also, I do just want to say, based on what you said this episode, it could be called a Song of Ood and Snow... What? Anyway. A Song of Ice and Spaghetti?
A Song of Drinks and... this is my fan fiction. It's called Of Drinks and Spaghetti.
I drink and I spaghetti things.
So, we start this episode with slavery. Commercial.
They're servants.
They're slaves.
And they like it.
They're slaves.
And they're basic.
They're basic slaveries.
It is kind of nuts because, you know, Jordan, I don't know if you know this, we don't watch Doctor Who in order.
We don't? I thought
we watched it in the correct order. No, we actually use a random number generator from spreadsheets.com.
We create the order. The ideal order.
The order, yes. The order becomes correct when we roll it. But I forgot until just now that Impossible Planet and Satan Pit were season 2 because they were David Tennant.
Yeah.
Which means that there's an entire season of Martha between that and this.
Uh-huh.
And it does make me kind of wonder, like, this was a question that I had, is this an apology episode? Or was this the plan for the Ood all along? And I feel like if it was the plan for the Ood all along, maybe this would have been in season 3 or even season 2.
If it was in season 2, we would have had a very Ood-centric sort of plate of spaghetti season.
That's what they deserve.
I have maybe a controversial opinion.
You think slavery is good?
I think slavery is bad. I think the Uter kind of cute. I think it's their little eyes that really cute. Do it for me. Like, it's their little squinty eyes, and then when they blink and it goes, it's cute.
I think they're disgusting cute.
They are disgusting cute. That's a good way to describe them. Because
they're sweet.
They are very sweet, and they have wholesome eyes. It's like
they sing.
It's like Steppenwolf.
Well,
he's disgusting, but he also has very cute eyes.
Look, I appreciate and respect my co-hosts on Zero to Zero, Val and Giga. I have never thought that Steppenwolf was cute. I have always thought that that was an absolutely insane opinion to have.
He's not cute, but he's got adorable puppy eyes.
I completely disagree.
And we see the light leave them as his head gets stomped into blood.
Yeah. Really? Anyway, it's an episode of Doctor Who. So we meet a man, and we learn that his name is Mr. Bartle, which means that he's going to die because he has a name. He's a business guy. He's on the Ood planet.
Oh, is that why the doctor can't die?
Oh shit.
Oh.
So he's reviewing this upcoming commercial for Ood slaves. I mean slaves. Now only 50 credits, so I guess the business is not doing great. But that's not really relevant to the plot. So then his Ood slave is like, here's your file, master, and then his eyes glow red and he kills the guy with his translator orb, that's what they're called, and says, have a nice day, sir, and kills the guy. So,
R.I.P. Mr. Bartle,
it was great getting to know you.
Did you see his eyes turned red?
They did turn red.
The doctor does infinite improbability drive in this episode.
He sets the TARDIS to random mode, which is what I call the 11th Doctor, am I right?
Didn't the 4th Doctor go random at some point? Didn't he say, I've gone random?
Oh, was that that was the android invasion, the androids were going random.
They were going random.
So Patreon.com/pottingbros.
The doctor is going random.
I believe that episode was titled My Head Doesn't Fall Off.
It's a pretty good title. He takes Donna to a snow cold ice planet. I do think that's funny that he set the TARDIS to random and ended up resolving a previous plot thread. Very much an improbability drive type.
It really
situation.
Is. What's the least likely thing that could happen? Resolving a storyline and setting in motion.
I have a theory, and I want you to help prophecy. Me. I want you to help me solve it.
Okay.
Which is, I think maybe the doctor's presence in this episode would have had no bearing on the events of it. I think he was there for things that otherwise would have happened regardless of him there. Maybe. Because think about
you might be right. We'll keep that in mind as we go. Off the top of my head, I can't say for sure.
I don't want to sit here
thinking about it for 5 minutes.
They go outside and it's very cold. The doctor.
This is
Donna.
A classic third episode of a series. So Donna has been on some kind of adventure with him, but not gone on a real one. So they're like, she's like, wow, space, you know, we've been there.
And she interrupts him.
Space, we've been there.
Space, we've been there. He's talking about how cool it is that you get to go out and you...
Yeah, like I said before, we didn't get the most, like, Doctor and Donna stuff in this episode, but I did like this part where she's, like, terrified but excited, and she's like, oh, you probably can't imagine how I'm feeling since you're always traveling all over the place, and he's like, no, that's how I always feel, and that's why I keep doing it. And I was like, oh, that's cool.
So they go outside, then Donna goes back inside to get a big jacket and interrupts.
Yeah, a big jacket that I... This is such a weird thing because they really made it seem like this was a plot important jacket.
Did they?
Because they kept referencing that when she has the hood on, she can't hear anything. And then we start dealing with stuff of, like, the Ood singing, and she's like, oh, I can't hear it, and it's like, oh, it's because she's got the hood on, and then it turns out that has absolutely nothing to do
with
anything.
She pulls her hood down, and she's got AirPods in.
Oh, no. Donna, no! Donna, no, step away from that wood chipper! No, she has AirPods in!
Step away from that meta crisis, Donna!
Step away from that lottery ticket, Donna! No!
Forgot about the lottery ticket.
By the way, I'm skipping ahead. I know that in End of Time Part 2, we saw that Martha was alive and somehow Mickey was back.
Yeah.
And in the next time on, did you watch it?
Yes, I did remember this time.
In the next time on, at the end of this episode, we see Martha, which, you know, again, I already knew that Martha was alive and well, but I'm really starting to think that no one has ever died on this show.
Well, we just saw a guy die on this show. He got his brain cut.
I'm starting to think that no companion has ever died.
Bill has died. I haven't seen it, but I know it in my heart.
At this rate, I think there's going to be more of Bill when we finally find out Bill's
fate. I can't wait for...
Oh no, Bill, I cloned you 100 times. Bye.
Which one's the real Bill, he says.
Doesn't matter. They're all thriving.
We know that Bill met with some horrible fate, but what is it? Oh, it's that there was a bunch of her and she didn't know which one was real anymore.
But then they... like, started a business together, and it was really successful.
The Bill Monks have always been here.
Amy and Rory have opened up a trattoria in Italy.
Didn't we know that Amy became a children's book author at some point?
That, I think, was more of an Easter egg than a here's what happened to Amy Pond. In The Bells of St. John.
Yeah. I remember. So now we meet our episode antagonist, Mr. Halpert, Jim Halpert. His name is
Halpin. Mr. Halpin. And if you ask me, he's not helping anything.
No, his character trait is bald, and his character trait is drink. Those are his two...
I drink and I hair things. You'd be surprised how much of his character is about him drinking and losing hair.
I think it's really funny because he talks about his hair tonic, which is a colorless liquid... that he has his slave, give him, doesn't help particularly at all. So you'd think that maybe in the year 4,200 whatever, maybe they'd have a cure for baldness, but I guess not.
Well, he keeps saying that his hair is falling out because this job is so stressful, and he's drinking the hair tonic all the time, but his hair is still falling out, or maybe it's just slowing down. I'm just saying it's too stressful. He needs to drink more of it and faster. He'll be fine. I mean he'll have hair.
Why isn't he chugging this?
Why isn't he chugging it? Chug it. Go.
Why is he giving he's having one little shot glass, but he keeps asking for it. This is what I'm saying. He takes it like 20 times a day.
Just get a big bottle.
Just get a big bottle. It can't hurt you.
You'll like it. You already do.
He loves it.
They go, we also meet a couple other characters, Dr. Ryder, who is the head of Ood Management, and Solana Mercurio, the head of marketing. I just want to say this right up at the top. I thought that Solana was the best character in the episode, because I thought that her actress did a really good job with that, like, she's so, like, friendly and smiley and cheerful, but in the most, like... you hate this lady kind of way.
Oh, I hate this lady.
But it was very subtly performed, and I really liked it. It wasn't like she was turning to the camera and going like, "I'm an awful lady." It was just like very corporate.
I do feel like subtlety is not necessarily the strong suit of the Davies era Doctor Who acting.
And that's, I think, why she stood out as good. I like this part where Mr. Lord Halpin, the Halpin guy, arrives at the base on what we will learn. Yeah, the planet is called the Ood Sphere. Very creative. And they're, like, having small talk and pleasantries at him. And he's like, "I don't care about any of that. Give me the stats. How many are dead?" And it's kind of framed like he's being a bit of a dick, but I think that it's very reasonable to be like, can we just talk about the fact that people keep dying here?
You heard it here, folks. Sam finds the CEO of slavery very reasonable.
I think he's great. No.
Drink.
So they go into Bartle's office. Remember Bartle? He died. Solana says that in the complex in the past quarter, there have been 3 deaths. Everyone thought that they were heart attacks until they got security camera footage of what happened to Bartle. And it turns out that he was zapped to death with a translator ball.
Which is surprising because, and I believe they said the same thing in the Satan Pit, which is, I don't understand how the Ood can kill you with their ball.
Yeah, this is funny because Halpin says that here where he's like, it could be used as a weapon. And Ryder's just like, yeah, I guess.
Why?
It was. We have a video of it. I don't know.
You made my brother in Christ. You made the orb. Why did they? Okay. So we find out that this has been like a noted phenomenon where their ood will get angry and kill you with their orb, and it's called Red Eye.
Yeah, I was surprised that they seemed to know about Red Eye, but they didn't think that and that was what was happening. They're like, people alone in rooms with ood keep dying. I guess it's a heart attack. Anyway, for some reason, the ood in the room always has Red Eye and is trying to kill people.
We find out that the ood that did the murder at the start of the episode ran away and probably just got shot.
Damn.
We find
and that then he takes his first but not last or even 10th to last shot of hair tonic.
He loves that tonic. Outside in the ood sphere in the snow, we find the ood that got shot. Donna sees the ood and is
worried. The doctor specifically finds it by following the sound of its singing, which Donna cannot hear because she's wearing a hood. Just kidding, that has nothing to do with it.
This fucking sucks, I've been shot.
I don't like dying.
It's not my favorite thing on
this
a list
is not
of
my
things.
Scene.
So Donna looks at an ood and says, holy fuck, what is that? It's gross. And then
I like this part where Donna sees the ood and is like, oh my god, it's face. And the doctor, who is like, you know, trying to keep this ood from dying, is like, I don't have time for this right now, but it's a he, not an it.
and then he starts trying to find the ood's heart with a stethoscope. His famous
he says
doctor.
He doesn't know much about ood anatomy, which will be very important for later.
He's like, I know how to kill 150 of these things, but I don't know where their heart is.
Well, I think that they killed 150 of them by blowing their brains up.
It's easy to do. So
yeah, the machine is in their bedroom.
Donna is like trying to talk to the dying ood, just to be polite, just exchanging pleasantries.
Yeah, she's like, oh, what's your name? The ood says Delta 50, and I guess that's as much of a name as they get. There is a part here where she, like, picks up the orb and tries to speak into it like it's a fucking, like, walkie-talkie, and the doctor's just like, you don't have to do that. You put it down.
Before the ood dies, the ood says, the circle must be broken. And then he goes red eye mode, and then he dies.
And then
Donna's like, should we bury him? And the doctor looks at the camera with it, and he's very serious, and he says, that's still...
Which, that was a little bit weird to bring it up at all and just be like, no.
What are we gonna get a scene where the doctor and Donna go get shovels out of the TARDIS and spend 10 minutes digging a big hole to put the ood in? Yes.
It's just weird to be like, oh, the snow will do it. Like, I mean, yeah. until it doesn't anymore.
And then
someone's just gonna find Delta 50 when the snow starts to melt and be like, Jesus Christ.
Then the doctor is like, okay, I've seen this happen before. The telepathic communication of the ood can sometimes be like taken over by other things. And then she said, well, what did it last time? And he said, you don't want to know. And then
you really want to know?
It was biblical Satan.
It was Satan from God.
It was Satan from the movies.
And then Donna says, okay, well, all if right, you're not going to okay. take this seriously, well, I don't want to talk about it anymore. Anyway, they see the building. They run over where there's a group of investors arriving to see what's up in the business of ooding. And Solana welcomes them. The doctor and Donna run over with psychic paper held aloft. And Donna says that they represent Noble Corporation PLC Limited Intergalactic, which is pretty funny.
And then...
They get a little awkward when she says, welcome, Dr. Noble, Mrs. Noble. And there's only one TARDIS.
I liked the way they said this because both the doctor and Donna are like, we're not married. Donna's like, I will never be married to Sean Temple and have a cool father-in-law with two swords.
Who wrote this episode.
And I like, thank you, future father-in-law. I like this moment because it felt a signal to us, the viewer. They were like, there's no funny business of this one. These two are just going to be just friends. Don't worry.
That's fine with me.
It's going to be okay. You don't
Donna,
need to...
we have to go on a mission to the friend zone.
We have to go to the kissing planet. We have to take our TARDIS down the tunnel of love. No.
So they walk in, an alarm starts going off. This is the first of two times in this episode where Solana has to tell the investors that the
alert,
alarm is not
alert.
An alarm.
The ood are going fucking crazy right now. Watch out.
Yeah, she's just like, nothing to worry about, everyone. That's just the alarm that goes off at the end of a shift. And they're like, okay, great.
We go back to the corporate management and security. We meet a new character, Mr. Kess, who's his job in the episode is to be the most evil comedy cartoon villain.
Yeah, which is fine. Yeah, he tells Halpin that there's a red-eye ood on the loose. Halpin, by the way, is like, I don't want any alarms going off today. There's investors here, which is, okay, makes sense. I love this guy. No. He's right about everything.
I resonate with him. We're on the same wavelength, me and Halpin.
So, yeah, we're like cutting back and forth between Solana telling investors, you know, they're not just servants. They are our trusted friends. Cut to the security team chasing down an ood and trying to kill it. Him. I'm so sorry. I'm racist.
You are very racist. If this episode was written by Stephen Moffat, if our dialogue was written by Stephen Moffat, I would be calling you oodist right now.
I don't know why. Is it just because they have spaghetti faces that, like, my brain defaults to calling them it? The doctor, he made a very good point.
Whenever you see someone eating a big, messy plate of spaghetti, you instantly forget their pronouns.
Yeah, well, they're fucking inhuman. People who eat spaghetti like that, use a fork.
You gotta twirl it around the fork. When you saw Opiyasu slurping those noodles, you're like, what's it doing?
What is that?
Ah! I don't like it! I like you watch the Italian food episode of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and the big problem you have is the way that Okuyasu eats his spaghetti. Okay, so
have some manners.
So we learn that there's a stage beyond Red Eye, which is when the ood goes rabid and water comes out of its spaghetti tendrils.
Sloppy spaghetti.
I really didn't like that. Listen, I think the ood are very cute, even when they're red-eye, but I don't like when their water is coming out of their spaghetti mouth.
No, why would you? I would it's be almost, worried if you
I
did.
I mean, I know it's supposed to be like saliva, so it's almost sort of a viscous slime-type secretion.
It's Alfredo sauce.
That's disgusting. Moving on.
That's disgusting. Don't mix Alfredo and marinara.
That sounds why like would you? I think that could be pretty good if you were doing like a food crime against Italy.
So, Halpin says to capture the ood and bring him to Dr. Ryder and don't let any of the investors see. We also see Halpin's ood servant is named Sigma and has a big Sigma on his jacket. And we met Sigma in the end of time.
That was when the doctor was like, I've been sucking and fucking all around this beautiful Milky Way. And then he goes to meet Sigma and
Sigma's like, you don't have to tell me, sir. I was there. I was participating.
The thing about the ood that they don't talk about in this episode is those guys are always sucking and fucking. Mm-hmm. That's how they make so many of them.
Yeah, I don't want to know what that spaghetti do, though.
They just kind of touch spaghettes.
There's a funny part here where Halpin turns to Sigma and is like, is my hair starting to grow back? Whatever. Like, you'd know.
I want to talk about a joke.
I get the joke, which is that the ood don't have hair, but I don't think that being bald makes it so that you can't see people's hair.
I want to talk about this joke that has been living rent-free in my head.
Okay.
So we're back at the investor meeting. And because ood sales are down, presumably because everyone already has a slave on Earth and in the galaxy, like, I don't know how
Detroit Become Human, where right. even the brokest bitch has two right. android slaves.
This guy living in, like, an absolute desolation with his daughter, and then he's like, I brought home this ood. Good lord.
Dad, how can we afford that? We can't. But you know what?
Good news, everybody. I freed all the monsters. Okay, so in an effort to increase ood branding, Solana is like, we've got new voice options for the men who are horny for their ood, a lady voice. And then
the ood is like, yes, master. And then they go over to another ood and say, of course, the comedy classic package. And then
she goes, excuse me,
ood, I think you dropped something. And it goes, oh!
Okay, all right, hold on. The year is like 4127, 4126. This is like if I got a fucking Amazon Alexa and it told me that joke from the Epic of Gilgamesh. This is a
dog was at a bar.
I love comedy classics. Greg Turkington's comedy classic. What is this? That's so old. I know it's a joke for the current modern day viewer. I guess what I'm saying is I think that Mr. Temple, and I do respect him and his blood sorts, should have come up with like a joke that only people from the year 4100 would get.
Oh yeah, 4126 we learn in this scene. Or, is the when are we?
Wait a minute.
Well, I mean, what they should have said is that they demonstrate the voice, and then one of the investors is like, "Oh, The Simpsons! I love that show. It's still running.
It's still on." What would
but you know, it's I've heard people say it's getting good again.
In the year 4126, the way that an episode of The Simpsons works is it's like 1 second long, and it just sort of like it just beams like glyphs. This isn't how normal TV works. This is how The Simpsons. This is like evolution over 2,000 years of Simpsons. It's okay. Just 1 second of like glyphs on your screen that if you watch The Simpsons, you're able to decipher it, and you just get the whole episode right there in that 1 second.
Okay.
So it's really convenient, and it also saves on like production time.
Okay. I don't think I'm quite following this, to be honest.
I'm just saying, what would happen to a TV show if it continued running and evolving for 2,000 years?
You think The Simpsons is evolving?
I heard it's getting good.
I think it's running. I've heard it's pretty good now.
I hear it's not running, it's soaring.
It's thriving just like Amy and Rory.
They're doing great. I know what happens to them, and they're doing great.
They got hit by birds and now they're hanging out with Lady Me. Anyway.
they got hit by an ostrich. The worst kind of bird.
Ooh. Okay. So the doctor like goes and finds a computer terminal and he's like trying to find out where are they and when are they. He says he's been to this solar system before a long time ago. The planet of Ood Sphere is near the planet Sense Sphere, which I assume is a callback to another episode. He realizes that they're in the year 4126 in the second great and bountiful human empire. And Donna thinks to herself about the state of things in her time. And she says, you know, global warming, the bees disappearing. And the doctor is like, that is pretty strange with the bees. Is that why there's an episode about bees?
I thought that episode had a wasp in it.
Is it wasp? Oh, no, it's the unicorn and the wasp.
It was actually an error.
The swamp thing and the bees.
And then she says, Doctor, is it good or bad that humankind is spread out all over the galaxy?
And I know, right?
He says,
I will say this 1,000,000 times.
I will say this every fucking time we encounter space humans.
So Donna starts talking to one of the Ood and asks, like, are you all slaves? And the Ood says, we are born to serve. If we couldn't serve, we would die. And she says, what were you like before humans? And the Ood has a weird, concerning head jerk and starts stuttering about the circle, which we will learn more about later. But then Solana walks in and continues the presentation, and they decide to sneak away with a map that she gave them earlier.
We're now back with Halpin Ryder and the Big Spaghetti, the rabid Ood, the one that's making Alfredo sauce. And Halpin's like, have you seen... He asks Sigma for his opinion, and Sigma's like, we look to you for answers. I don't know what you want from me, dude.
You're the smartest guy in the room, Halpin.
You'd think that the man who owns the Ood factory would understand that the Ood don't do that. They don't help. I mean, they help, but they don't, like, you do the thinking, I do the drinking.
Great. So Ryder says that he's worried about the state of Warehouse 15.
Ooh. Oh yeah, they talk about Warehouse 15, and it's been sealed for 2 centuries now, except for I guess when he went there as a boy.
I think that what was confusing here is that I think that he was saying that what is in Warehouse 15 has been sealed for 2 centuries. But yeah, it was confusing because then moments from now, Halpin is like, I've been in here recently. Anyway.
200 years ago when I was a little boy.
So Halpin, this is a pretty, effectively fucked up moment where Halpin turns to the guards and he's like, all right, well, we need to do a postmortem on this one. And for a postmortem, it has to be dead first. So they just shoot it to death.
So then we get a scene of the doctor and Donna walking around the snowy facility. And we see the Ood marching out of their factories and Kes, the comedy villain. Is cracking a whip at them. I really have to like point out that that it did feel a little fucked up to make like a black man crack a whip at a bunch of slaves.
Well, that's just the thing, is in 4126 we've come so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think that they shouldn't have done that.
No, I agree.
I think that they shouldn't have done that in this episode.
Yeah, well, Donna is watching this and she's like, oh my god, they're not servants, they're slaves. Yeah, Donna.
Yeah.
Good job.
You thought they liked it? Well, they said they like it, so.
Yeah, and the doctor, by the way, is just like, I think that I owe them some assistance here after what happened last time when I let them all die.
Well, they died with honor, so it was kind of great.
They died without honor, but they were retroactively honored, which is fine. So, Halpin and Ryder go to Warehouse 15, and Halpin, I don't remember at what point this, I guess it's like a family business, like his family, like, own all the Ood?
I guess so.
This was something that I found kind of confusing, is like, we learned that Ood are used as slaves, like, throughout the human empire, and apparently, as far as I can tell, this is it. This is the planet of Ood, the company that produces and distributes Ood. This is the guy. This is the king of slavery.
I know this isn't what you're saying, but what it sounds like to me that you're about to say is it's really fucked up. I think that the slaves should be a publicly owned commodity.
No, not at all. Just that it didn't feel like they really gave this the weight of, like...
Well, I love that this is
the king... All labor. I own labor.
This is the king of slavery, and also slavery is not doing very well financially right now.
Like, yeah, which I guess is good.
Like, they're not selling as many slaves as they used to.
Which, I think that's an interesting idea, and it raises some questions about what's going on elsewhere that are never explored, so I don't even know why they mentioned
that. That's what I was thinking about, like, do the Ood die? This is, like, honestly, if I was Halpin, if I'm going to think like a slave CEO who has a monopoly on slavery, instead of adding Homer Simpson's voice, which we haven't heard... We haven't heard Homer's voice in like 200 years since they added the glyphs. Just program in forced obsolescence. These Ood die in like 6 weeks.
Let's just take a moment and imagine a world in which we're living in a cyberpunk future. I said cyberpunk just to make it more future. It doesn't have to be cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
And all the world... Everything that we know is built on the back of slave labor.
But they like it.
But inexplicably, slave labor just kind of... It kind of just starts to become a little bit, you know, dated. And it's not really as popular anymore. And then the company that produces and distributes the slaves is like, don't worry, guys. We've got it. It's a new voice pack for the slaves where they sound like W.C. Fields.
Yes. Once again, you're not focusing on the timetable here. This is 2,000-plus-year-old
comedy.
Yeah,
I know, but I don't know who was the most famous comedian of the year 24.
There was this guy, his name was Silius of Rome, and he was... Man, this guy's material was so fucking good. I'm sorry that the best I could do for an ancient Roman comedian was the name Silius.
I was trying to remember what... Pupienus.
What?
There was some guy who was named Pupienus. I don't remember who he was.
No.
It's just a thing that goes around sometimes when people learn that there was a guy named Pupienus.
They didn't need comedians in ancient Rome because that guy exists.
I'm looking up Pupienus.
That was enough.
Oh, he was the emperor.
No, he wasn't. Come on.
Marcus Clodius Pupienus Maximus.
With your emperor's name Pupienus, you have no need for jokes or comedians. Everyone's just laughing in the streets. And how funny that.
Sorry, I knew that his name was Pupienus. I wasn't ready for Pupienus Maximus.
Oh no, I'm 4 years old. Every time I laughed at the joke, I become 1 year younger.
You don't... Here's the thing. The Ood don't need a funny voice pack. The Ood can just say, Did you know that there was a Roman emperor named Pupienus Maximus? And I'm like, shit, I'll pay 100 credits for that.
Sorry.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. This is a level of detail that I didn't plan on getting into, but at the beginning, when we see the commercial, the commercial is like, now for only 50 credits, you can own your very own Ood. And then during the presentation, Solana is like, and you can add on the variety voice pack for an additional 5 credits. That is an additional 10% of the value of the slave. That seems pretty expensive for something so trivial and stupid.
Once again, he's running this company into the ground. They need to just let the Ood die in a couple years.
That's true. At the beginning, before Mr. Bartle dies, he's like, I'm not happy with the state of things. Yeah, me either, man. This guy helping seems to suck. But unfortunately, it's a family business, and he's the king of slavery. He's the king of
slavery. They need
the mad boy king of slavery has driven them into the ground.
We need to seize the means of slave production. Why does one company get to tell everybody how many slaves they get and whether they sound, this is an Elon Musk type thing to do to make the slave sound like Homer Simpson, if you ask me.
The Ood will not be provided with a fart button.
Fart button, yeah.
There was also a mention that we didn't talk about at the very beginning when Bartle mentioned that he was like, can you bring me the file on the, like, sales to the military?
Oh, yeah, to the military. They're like
really
the main,
fucked up.
Yeah, the armies of humanity. Who are they fighting, by the way? Are they fighting aliens? Are they fighting
the
Suntaran?
Ood, I guess.
Are they fighting other... There's got to be a sci-fi novel out there where two nations settle their differences by just sending their genetically engineered slave army. No,
oh my
no...
god! Look out! Here comes the most powerful Ood of all. It's the Slurping Man.
Like, both sides of this conflict have no actual care about whether or not their Ood die. It's more about, oh, you've just cost us so much money.
No, my thing that did a Homer Simpson impression!
Whenever Ood gets shot by other Ood, they go, doh.
Oh, God.
Anyway, I do think that the slave company
should be... What if that
was
happening? If there was one of the Ood from the presentation demonstrating the voice pack was one of the Ood that is later gunned down in the facility, and then we just hear, open fire!
Oh, okay. So they go into a big stinky smelly room that smells gross.
Yeah, it is
and they
a
look at
warehouse.
They look at something off camera under a big catwalk and they say, "Yep, it's still there." Okay.
This is the part where Halpin says, like, "I haven't been here since my dad brought me here as a kid. I still remember the stench.
Son,
nothing's changed. There's still a big stinky thing."
Son, one day you will be the king of slavery.
Really? You mean it, Dad?
He says, "Sigma, what do you think of it?" And Sigma just says, "No opinion, sir." He says, "Say hello to Daddy." So whatever's in here is something very
just
fatherly.
When we understand what it is, it honestly doesn't make that much sense that he said that, but okay.
That's fine. Ryder says, "The barrier is intact, as it has been for the past 200 years. Okay, great. So Solana then, like, radios them and says that the Doctor and Donna failed the security check and they're missing. Noble Industries doesn't exist, which I feel like I'm surprised that, you know, we're in the year 4126 or whatever. I feel like we would have run out of names for companies, so I'm surprised
It's all glyphs now, Sam. Everything's glyphs in the future. You don't need...
I was listening to an episode of Your Kickstarter Sucks, and they were talking about two competing products on Kickstarter called the Gripsner and the Squeg.
It's all glyphs in the future, Sam. The future
okay,
is full of glyphs.
So then, for no reason, Halpin dumps some of his hair tonic into the pit.
Why
and whatever's
do that?
In it goes, rah!
Why do you do that?
I don't know. Hair. Enjoy.
Hair.
Get some hair. They leave, but Sigma briefly hangs back to look at whatever's in the pit.
I may secretly have an opinion on this.
I might. Maybe I was... This was one of my classic Will Bill bowl a hole in one to save the day moments. Where the Doctor and Donna are, like, walking around, and he walks past a door that Donna takes notice of, and she, like whistles at him really, really loudly, and he's like, "Where'd you learn to whistle like that?" And she's like, "Oh, West Ham matches," or whatever. And I was like, aha, Donna will save the day with a loud whistle.
This is so sad. What have they done to our brains? This is so sad. I'm crying right now. Because it's like... Donna does a thing and you're like, oh wow, Donna can do, she's a, you know, she's working class, she likes the football, she's just an ordinary lady, she has this one, she can do whistles because she loves to go to the football games, and Sam's like, when will this come back? When will this be her?
It was
ace
just
in the
a
hole?
Really weird detail. I was like, I mean, maybe I'm missing like British culture context to know what I'm supposed to take away from her whistling loudly.
Bill's like, oh, I love pub bowling. And you're like, when's this gonna come up?
You're gonna feel really fucking stupid when Bill bowls a hole in one and saves the universe,
and then dies in the process.
Yeah, well. Anyway, they go
Bill,
inside.
The bowling ball has a chain hooked up to your heart. If you bowl it, it'll rip your heart. It'll rip your heart out.
Bill, don't do it. I'm sorry, Doctor. This is what I have to do.
Playing the anime OP music as Bill's chest just gets ripped open by the bowling ball.
Anyway, great. So they go into this warehouse.
I'm not done being mean to you about this.
Why you're not can't done, it or just, you are done.
I'm not done being mean to you about this. Why can't it just be a thing about her character that she likes to go to the football game and do a big loud whistle?
I just don't know what. I don't know what's important. Everything matters.
Why does it need to be seating? It's not. This isn't Kylix. Why?
Everything matters. Everything matters. Also, if you look at my notes, you'll see that what I wrote was, "Will that matter? Who knows?"
I'm gonna delete the who and the s. And pretend it's spelled differently. Will that matter? No, it's just a thing Donna can do.
Oh, here. Can you delete the word nose and before who write the word doctor and then put a question after it?
The ultimate question. Silence will fall when the question is asked.
They go inside and it's a warehouse full of shipping containers.
I have one more joke about this.
Okay, great.
What's it called? The rebel flesh. They open up a door. And behind the door, you can just see, like, this window through reality, and you just see Donna whistling very loudly, and you go, I wonder if that'll come up ever again.
Is this a reference to the eye patch lady?
Yeah, this is the eye patch lady. What if the eye patch... Nice. Yeah, that was all.
It's remember Donna wearing an eye patch because she whistled so hard that her eye popped out.
and it happened when she was whistling so loud to signal the doctor to save the
day. To save the universe. They go inside the warehouse and it's shipping containers and they're full of
We get this beautiful PlayStation 2 claw. I love this claw.
Oh yeah, that's something I did. You know, I take notice of the wrong things. I see Donna whistling and I'm like, will that matter later? Then I see a giant claw swinging around the warehouse and I'm like, that's not worth making a note of.
And we find out the can you believe it, these shipping containers. I don't like the fact that in the year 4000 everything looks like such as it does right exactly now. But there's just normal shipping crates and a normal shipping claw just like you'd see at the warehouse where it has a big claw and it goes really fast. And then we find out the boxes are full of ood. Oh my god, shock. And then
the doctor says that the human empire is built on slavery, same as ever. And Donna says, I don't have slaves, which I... Donna... Donna... Donna...
Donna.
That's not the point. But then the doctor says, well, who do you think made your clothes?
And then she gets pissed off at him.
Yeah, she's like, did you bring me here just to take cheap shots at me?
The doctor just keeps a human being next to him.
And he says, I don't know, did you bring yourself here just to wear cheap shirts from slaves?
I do like...
And then they high five.
I keep calling back to it over and over again, but we're insects to you, no, to me you look like giants. I guess David Tennant has been around for a few seasons. Fadisi's like, you're giants, also you have slavery, also you're apes. But then I remembered that was Eccleman who calls them apes.
But this is the thing, is he can hate the empire while loving the people.
But he does, he will make sure Donna knows about it.
Yeah, which is fair. And she asks one of the ood, like, we opened the door, are you not going to try to escape? And the ood's just like, why would I do that? And she wonders about the translator orbs, you know.
Why can they kill people? She doesn't know that, but I'm wondering.
You're not born with those orbs, so where do they come from? And the doctor asks if they've heard of the circle, and then all the ood's translator orbs light
the
up
circle
at once, and
must
they all
be
say, and they say, why? And the ood say, so that we can sing. And then Kes shows up, the security guy, and sounds the alarm. We cut to Halpin, who's like, God damn it, I said stop setting off the alarm while the investors
and
are here.
And then Solana's like, Doctor alert, intruder in the container
room. I love this. Solana is
like
the second alarm of the day, and she's like, oh, don't worry, everyone. Just a standard daily fire drill.
It's all going to shit over here. Oh, no.
Big problem. Big problem. Oh, don't worry. That's just the good times ahead alert.
Why do we have that alarm installed that sounds every time our company loses money? Why do we do that?
Can we at least shut it off when the investors are here? No, we made it so it can't be shut off.
Can it ever be turned off forever?
So the Doctor and Donna are trying to escape from the security people, but they get separated. Donna gets caught. She gets thrown into a shipping container, and uh-oh, there's a bunch of Ood with red eyes.
Oh, no. And then Kes says something that I think is the most relatable line in the episode. this is my cool.
Fucking stupid. This guy, his only characterization is that he's like incredibly bloodthirsty and cruel, except for this one part where he becomes a little boy and he's like, everyone, the doctor's mine. I'm gonna play the claw game.
I'm giving this my cool time moment. I've always wanted to drive a big crane.
I've always wanted to drive a big crane.
And then we get this scene of Donna, like, oh no, the Ood are coming towards me. And then the doctor running around a warehouse as PS2 video game claw is just like...
It's good. I liked it. I thought this was
after
really
him
fun.
So fast. This is a fast claw. This is a good claw. This is a strong claw.
This is one of my
claw.
Favorite claws yet.
They make the most beautiful claws on the Ood sphere. You really have to see him to believe him.
Yeah, but... the doctor, I can't remember exactly how it happens, but he ends up like tripping or whatever, and the claw starts to like descend toward him, but then Solana jumps in next to Kes and is like, helping wants them alive. He was gonna fucking gore the doctor.
I also really like, he was gonna rip the doctor apart and early Matt Smith strats.
He was gonna get a glory kill.
I never remember the Doom Marine getting a glory kill with a big industrial claw, but I would have loved to have seen it. This is what
that would have fit perfectly in that
this
game.
Is what I began to think about Solana, like, running around giving orders to people, and she's an executive, but I dislike that she's, like, the director of sales.
Well, I didn't write it down. She said director of marketing and galactic liaison.
Oh, she's the galactic liaison too.
Sure, whatever that means, that's her.
Sort of a some kind of comptroller.
Although, to be completely fair, it was Halpin's orders not to kill the doctor.
She's just here to relay.
And he's the king of slavery.
They don't have radios on the Ood sphere,
except for the numerous scenes where people are talking to each other on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the doctor is apprehended by the guards.
They let Donna out of the box.
Yeah, he says, you better let her out or you'll be in big trouble. Not from me, from her. So that's characterization, I guess, for a Donna that I have yet to see.
Donna gets angry. She kills people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's not red hair. Her head is on fire from how mad she is.
Oh, she's Ghost Rider? Did we never mention that Donna has a skull for a head? It's so weird. I forgot to say this.
At the door!
I don't know. I've never seen
it. It's from Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance. Anyway. Listen to Zero to Zero, that we did three episodes on it for some reason. So then all of the containers open up and Ood start walking around with red eyes, advancing on the guards and zapping them. The doctor escapes alongside Donna and Solana.
Hey,
we can do an episode about that. We can do a whole episode about that, Jordan.
Then we can just stop the episode right here. We've already made our best observation. Two characters have rhyming names.
I don't
have
to say anything else. Their names rhymed. They all escape the warehouse together, and Donna asks, like, do people on Earth know about this? And Solana says, they don't ask, which is the same thing. And the doctor says, well, the Ood can't possibly have evolved to be like this. And Solana says, well, I don't fucking know. Dr. Ryder would know, but I wouldn't know. And the doctor's like, you should come with us because
you saw
what was happening in that warehouse, and there's no way that you agree with it.
I've decided that you're nice.
And then, Solana's like, just kidding. I work in marketing. I'm as evil as it gets.
There's nobody.
I mean, she works in marketing for slavery. So I don't know why the doctor was like, Solana, help. I know there's good in you. No, there's not.
Solana is beyond redemption.
she's about as bad as
she
gets.
She works for the slave company as the person in charge of helping them sell as many slaves as possible.
She makes commercials for slavery, doctor.
She put a Homer Simpson voice in one of these guys. That's about as evil as you can, and she's not respecting the glyphs!
Well, The Simpsons is in public domain at this point.
It's in sort of an astral, like, consciousness domain at this point. You don't even have to watch it. In the year 4000, you don't even need to watch The Simpsons to have seen every episode. It's just sort of in the atmosphere of every planet and the whole fabric of the universe.
You remember the Maury?
The Maury, yeah.
Those are the Simpsons.
That's
the Simpsons like. Now.
That's
this is what Homer Simpson looks like that's, today.
That's Homer and Marge.
It's Marge Simpson.
Did you not did you not notice the Maury with the big blue hair?
Yeah, it's Marge Simpson.
The battle between the space and the Simpsons has been going on for eons.
The anyway, Ravagers I'm looking just... forward to the episode The Unicorn and the Wasp and also Bumblebee Man.
I guess the Ravagers were just people who were trying to get the Simpsons canceled once and for all.
Oh, it's me?
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, she like calls the guards and tells Halpin on them, and Kes has like we don't see how it happened. It was probably very bloodless, but they like rounded up all the red eye ood who have started to go rabid and like locked them into the warehouse. He says the whole batch is contaminated. We see Halpin's hair start to fall out, which looks really cool and good. And Kes says there's 2,000 of them. We'll just have to. It's Halpin who says we'll just have to write them off. That's okay. That's what insurance is for. And he says, fetch the canisters. No survivors.
The doctor and Donna find a new room. They go in. What is this
again,
thing?
Why he followed the sound of the singing.
Why did Donna get mad at him for opening a lock with his sonic screwdriver?
That was the opposite of what she got mad at him for. She got mad at him for blowing up the
oh,
lock,
right. Locking
trapping
them
in.
Yes.
In the room.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. We see a cage full of ood and they're all like clutching. They're all like clutching and hunched over.
Yeah, there's like six or seven of them.
Yeah.
And Donna says that they look different, which I am just going to have to take her word for it. I was trying to figure out what she was talking about, but I didn't see anything.
I was assuming it was more like a body language thing. Like, they're not
oh,
all,
yeah,
they're not
that,
all, like,
that makes
stood
sense.
Upright.
But yeah, the doctor says they look different because these are natural-born ood. And he says, would you like to hear their song of captivity and sadness? And she says, yeah, okay. And then he psychically shares it with her by touching her face.
And she starts
crying, and she's like, "Actually, I don't want to hear this." Come to think of it,
I thought there was going to be a moment here where the doctor was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, but once you hear it, you can never unhear it," or something like that. Like once.
Yeah,
you
but
hear,
no, she's just like,
she's
take
like
it
"Can
away.
You can
and
you take
like, okay.
Can you make me ignorant again? Can you can you silence the sounds of their agony to me? Yeah. Okay,
so,
cool. Thank you."
We go back outside.
Wait,
to
I need to talk
Solana
about
Ryder.
I need to talk about something okay. You missed, which is. She's like, so you've been hearing it this whole time? And he's like, always. And I know that's like since he got here, but now I'm just imagining like inside of the doctor's head, there's a whole like symphony of like the drums and the singing.
Yeah, he looked into the whole of the time vortex when he was a child and he's been hearing the song of the Ood ever since.
It's like, oh yeah, also there's the fiddler, the celestial fiddler. I'm always hearing him. And
no spoilers, I haven't met the celestial fiddler yet.
And the galactic drummer.
Stop spoiling it!
I'm sorry, spoilers. Every
oh, wait,
time
the galactic drum isn't the galactic drummer just President Rassilon tapping on the table?
That's a different character. This one's really got a whole kit.
Just playing a sick fill.
So then, we're back with Halpin, marketing director and galactic liaison Solana and Ryder, the doctor.
But not that
and they're,
one.
And they're outside of the room that the doctor and Donna are currently in.
Yeah, they call it the experimentation lab. And they, yeah, Halpin's like, let's get this door open. Solana, you get back to the investors. Make sure they don't see any of the ood. Back inside, the doctor opens up the cage and introduces himself and Donna as friends. This is a recurring phrase that we'll hear throughout
Donna.
The episode is, Dr. Donna, friends.
And then we
They'll
find
say
out.
Say it about 100 times, so
we
I hope
find
you like
out-
it.
They're like, what are you holding, Mr. Oods? And then they hold out their orb, and it's actually their brain in their hand.
It's their hind brain, and they hold it in their hand, and it's connected with a hose that is flesh.
So we learn that the Ood are basically lobotomized. That's not what a lobotomy does, but they're basically lobotomized, and that turns them into emotionless slave people.
Yes, they are cutting off the hind brain and replacing it with the translator orb. Which the hind brain, the doctor says it's like the human amygdala, it's the center of emotions, etc., etc. So by cutting off their hind brain and replacing it with the translator orb, you're turning them into essentially like, you know, mindless slaves, as we have seen. And then Donna is like, you know, remember when I met you at the very end of Doomsday And then at some point, I guess I was like looking for you in some episodes that we haven't seen yet on the podcast. That was a mistake. I want to go home. I thought the world would be cool, but it's not. Can I leave?
You put the TARDIS on random mode and took me to the epicenter of all slavery, and I don't like it.
I thought that it would be funny random, but it was actually tragic random.
I thought we were going to go to the monkey dishwasher planet of Ninja 5. Ninjalon 5.
Herpulon 9.
Also, I think I was wrong. I think that is what a lobotomy does. My bad. Don't get mad at me.
There's different kinds of lobotomies.
I think there's one kind of lobotomy.
I think that's correct.
I think the lobotomy is where they cut the like sort of the center. What's it called? They cut the tissue that connects the two halves of the brain together. Why did they do this?
The corpus callosum.
Thank you. I think that is right. Actually,
they call me the brain guy.
Brain guessers.
No, brain knower.
I'm editing your notes. I'm deleting I'm turning no into no, and then I'm putting it back, and I'm writing Doctor Who.
Great. Okay, so the guards run in, and the doctor, like, locks himself and Donna in the cage with the Ood, and he goes, "What are you gonna do, arrest me? You're too late! Ha!" And then we just smash cut to them handcuffed to the wall in an office.
And then Halpin's like, "Ah, you are from the terrorist organization, Friends of the Ood."
He says activist, but sure. We heard about the Friends of the Ood, I believe, in the Impossible Planet. I think somebody asked Rose, because she was like, "Isn't slavery bad, though?" And they were like, "Oh, God, are you one of the Friends of the Ood?"
I love that in the future, people just absolutely can't stand these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I hate to do this, Jordan, but it is very much a Harry Potter SPEW type situation.
Oh, fuck you. Don't bring up Harry Potter on our beautiful podcast.
It's the pitfalls of activism.
Yeah. Oh, is it possible that the Ood like being enslaved? I mean, look at them. They ask them. They say they like it.
But hey, you have to hand it to Doctor Who. They didn't try to write a gotcha about slavery. They just wrote about how slavery is bad.
They didn't write an episode about how slavery is bad, and it ends with... And the people who say, "Oh, you're a friend to the Ood," are villains? It's bad when they say that?
No. It's the people who incorrectly believe that slavery is good who think that the Friends of the Ood are
so
bad.
They're so ignorant. We just need to educate them, and we need to understand that the Ood like
that's
it.
Not where this lands. Anyway. Halpin tells them that before humans found the Ood, they were just stupid animals.
And they were walking Donna's around like, building their civilizations.
Yeah, Donna's like, I think he says something like, if they weren't stupid animals, then why did they trust us so readily?
Donna and she's like, is like, well, they hold their own brain in their hands. They'd have to trust anyone they meet. And the doctor's like, wow, your perspective. I never would have thought of that.
Through your unique perspective. Yeah, he's like, nice one. I do feel like that metaphor would have worked better if the Ood were carrying around their hearts.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that that's a saying that they hold their brain in their hand.
I guess it's just that they're inherently very vulnerable creatures.
Yeah, I suppose so. But yeah, she's like, you know, that's a good thing about them, and you're a piece of shit, fuck you. And he says, well, it doesn't matter anymore, because we're about to kill all of them.
We're gonna kill all of our slaves. One thing that Dr.
Kess has armed a bunch of gas bombs and put on a gas mask. I would probably just go outside, but...
He wants to see them die, because he's horrible. I guess the Ood in the cage that still have their brains are maybe the ones that are making the red eyes go red eye mode, I guess? I'm not 100% sure.
Something like that. They start singing, and all the red-eye Ood in the warehouse stand in a circle and hold hands together. And Salada is like, she's like, okay, everyone, please follow me to a room that doesn't have any Ood in it. And they're like, no, this is great. There's an open bar.
I love this guy, because one of the Ood gets evil red eyes, scary red eyes, and the guy's like, ooh, nice, different color feature. You could sell this. And then he gets immediately killed by the Ood.
Yeah, and the Ood all go red eyes mode. Every single Ood on the facility, except for the natural-born Ood in the cage and Sigma, start
this
zapping
This is like
people.
When your Xbox back in the day red rings. Is this how you go, oh, I gotta call Ood slavery support, my Ood red-eyed, and now I killed
my dad. I don't know if
dad.
We ever had a red ring of death, but I don't think we called slavery support.
We had several red rings of death, and I feel like...
Did
I
we?
To remember that when you get the red ring of death, you just basically... You said, okay, my Xbox is broken, and then got a new
one. Thanks, Microsoft.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you bought one that sucks. Bye.
You brought our console didn't work. Oops.
Bye.
Sorry.
Oh, well. So, yeah, Solana runs outside. It's chaos. The Ood are all attacking the security people and everyone, and the investors are all getting killed, and...
this is the worst day Solana, of my career.
Like, orders the guards, like, shoot to kill, and then one of the Ood zaps her and kills her. No! Bye, Solana.
Oh, she was so nice, apparently. She was the nice one, according to the doctor.
So, well, I don't know if he would say that anymore. He thought she might be, but he was wrong. And back with Kes, a bunch of red-eye Ood, like, walk in, and we don't see what happens, but next time we see him, he has been locked inside the warehouse while the Ood have been released by the other Ood, and he has had his gas mask removed, and the bombs activate, and he dies. Oh, well.
Oh, no. We're back in the locking the doctor up room. I don't know what this room is.
It's just some office.
It's like an office. And the doctor...
It's the office with Jim Halpin.
Yeah. Halpin's like, okay, well, we have to go kill all of our Ood and stop this before a police investigation happens. Because the Ood all over the galaxy might go crazy. Uh-huh. So they leave. And then the doctor is like,
Before they leave, though, the doctor has a theory that he puts out.
There's a secret third thing.
Yeah, if they had their forebrain and their hindbrain separated, they wouldn't be able to, like, function between the two, like, being in conflict with each other. So there has to be a third element somewhere else. And Halpin says, like, you're very clever. Ding. But this third element of yours won't exist for much longer, Doctor. It's the thing in the warehouse.
He's going to leave them. He's going to leave them chained up and let the Ood kill them, I guess.
Yep. Halpin, this was interesting, I guess. I don't really know what we were supposed to get from this, but Halpin turns to Sigma and is like, Sigma, you're the only one that's not trying to kill. You've been faithful to the last. Go join your people while you still can.
Go get shot with the rest of them.
And Sigma's like, okay, and just walks away.
The doctor is trying to get out of the handcuffs, and there's a little scene about did you ever... Oh, let me guess, you met Harry Houdini, or did you ever meet Harry Houdini? And the doctor's like, well, of course I did, unfortunately. These are really
good. Handcuffs are a little bit too good.
Yeah, I don't know how to get out of these.
Some red-eye Ood walk into the room with them and start menacingly approaching them, and they're like, Doctor, Donna, friends! Doctor, Donna, friends! The circle must be broken! And then the Ood in the cage hear them telepathically and signal to the Ood telepathically not to harm them, and then their eyes turn unred, and then they say, Doctor, Donna, friends.
They're so cute. I love their eyes. They're nice. It's a shame that Stephen Moffat presumably was like, I hate these guys.
I'm gonna weigh in on this right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I hate slavery.
Slavery is bad. You heard it here, folks.
Yeah. I just want to make sure we're all clear.
We're not pro-slavery on this pod. We're very much anti-slavery.
So the Ood release them, and they run outside trying to find Warehouse 15, and there's a really great shot. Did you notice this part where they're running around, and there's a big fiery explosion effect on the screen that seemingly just happens for actually no reason?
I did really enjoy the fiery explosion effects in this episode.
And they like, go flying, and they land on the ground. And when the explosion clears, we can see that the scenery is completely unaffected. There's a big pile of boxes and barrels
are totally unscathed. It was very Decker 2 port of Call Hawaii to me.
And Sigma finds them, and we then cut to Warehouse 15, and Halpin tells Ryder, this is so fucking stupid, because Halpin is like, you know, Dr. Ryder, this plan that we're about to enact, my grandfather came up with it.
And it turns out the plan is
blow up the thing in the tank.
The thing is, it wouldn't be an Ood episode if the idea of killing all the slaves did not get brought up by a character. So yeah, they just keep a cabinet full of bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Little video game bombs, like some Just Cause 4 bombs in a little cabinet that stick onto the walls.
That's a very specific reference point.
Well, there were 5 red sticky bombs that look like this.
That's fine. I'm just saying, I don't know that I've ever heard anybody reference that game in any context.
Everyone is always
ever.
Talking about Just Cause 4.
Was that the one where you, like, go parasailing or whatever?
Yeah, that's Just Cause.
Okay.
Yeah. So, so the Doctor and Donna also get to Warehouse 15.
Mm-hmm. And they look into the pit from before that we didn't see what was in it, and it's a gigantic brain! It's a big the shared brain. Telepathic mind that connects all Ood telepathically.
And they're gonna blow it up to kill all the Ood.
Oh no! I really liked this weird villain monologue that Halpin starts doing when he sees them, where he's like, you know, I think that once this is all over, I'll get into the cargo business. I've got the rockets, I've got the sheds. Like, okay, man, thank you. Thank you for letting me know about your future business plans, I suppose.
I like the part where every Ood in the whole world, all the Ood across the galaxy drop dead at the same second.
And then, the president of slavery. The president of
slavery is like, I'm rebranding!
Remember those rockets and storage facilities that we used for the slaves? Well, now we use them for whatever you want.
Sir, our labor...
Doesn't matter.
So he says that centuries ago, I guess 200 years ago-ish, they found the brain frozen under a glacier. Not frozen under a glacier, it was just under a glacier. And mm-hmm. then they built a big circle of pylons around it.
They built what?
A circle. That must be broken.
Oh, shit, it's the circle, that's what it is! And then, Halpin tells Sigma he's disappointed in him. I don't quite... Oh, was it... Oh, it was because he brought the Doctor and Donna here, right?
Right.
Okay. And then he says, my place is at your side, sir. And Halpin smiles and says, good Ood. But then he looks concerned for some reason. And we'll find out why very shortly.
So then we find out the Doctor, like... The Doctor
this is
theorizes,
a good part because it's a waste of time.
Uh-huh.
The Doctor's like, I think that the reason that they've started breaking free despite the telepathic barrier is that they've slowly developed an adaptation to resist the barrier. And then Dr. Ryder walks out and is like, no, that's not what it is.
Hello. Oh, okay. Hello, excuse me. Hi, excuse me, I have a question. If Dr. Ryder explains that he was trusted with the Ood controls by Halpin, so mm-hmm. he lowered the barrier power to its minimum uh-huh. strength because he's uh-huh. actually secretly with Friends of the Ood and he's been infiltrating this company for 10 years.
Correct.
If he got trusted with the controls, I'm sorry to say this. Why didn't he just turn it off?
Well, I think. Oh, I don't know.
Are you going to tell me is it that the off switch is in here, but outside there's an Ood field strength dimmer switch that you could lower and no one noticed?
I don't know, but this is a good time to talk about what you raised at the start, which was the Doctor's presence here actually impactful in any way?
And the answer is, I think the answer is no, because
I'm also inclined to say no, because Ryder... Ryder was working against Halpin from the beginning.
Well, let's go over the events real quick, because what happens now after Ryder reveals that he's been helping the whole time is that
Halpin pushes him over the railing and he gets sucked up by the brain and I guess dies. I wasn't sure if there was going to be a thing where he like becomes part of the Ood consciousness. I guess the brain just eats him.
Yeah, I guess the brain just gets hungry, because I would feel like landing on a big squishy brain would help cushion your fall.
Yeah, I don't really know. Whatever. Bye, Ryder.
Oh, well. And then...
This is, I think, one of the highest body counts of any episode we've ever seen.
Oh, so many fucking people are dying in this episode. Halpin is like... He's got a gun now. I don't know where he gets it from, but he's like...
I didn't even notice that he had the gun until, like, about this point. But yeah, he's been holding the gun this entire scene.
Which, by the way, sorry to keep saying it. The guns in this episode do not look like the... They don't have any glyphs on them. They don't have any lasers.
Why are you so fixated on the idea that the future is glyphs?
The future is full of glyphs. I've seen it.
When?
When the Simpsons figures it out.
You haven't seen it.
When the Simpsons cracks the code in about 2,000 years to make you not have to watch the Simpsons anymore by showing you glyphs, and everyone says, let's put this on our guns. Let's put this on our girls. Let's put this on our ghouls.
I'm not following, but I do like it and appreciate it.
Thank you. So Halpin is kind of like, he's like, I'm going to shoot you. I've never done that before. But he's kind of going like, he's kind of going wonky mode.
I do like this line. He says, I've never shot anyone before. I can't say I'm going to like it, but it's not exactly a normal day, is it? This is one of the weirdest villains they've ever had.
He's such a freak. Well, Sigma's like, would you like your drink, Mr. Halpin? please have a drink. And then he's like, wait a minute. And he's like shaking and he's sweating and he's wet. And he's like, oh, you poisoned me. And Sigma's like, no.
Natural oud must never kill.
I guess Sigma
didn't go red eye because he's not.
He's actually got his brain in the little ball. It's like it's just a little cup to hold his
brain. He does have a translator orb though. So yes. He's not a natural oud.
Well, I'm saying maybe it's a fake. Maybe he's just got his brain in there. What we find out is that over this entire time, for who knows how long, Sigma has been giving him something called oud graft suspended in biological compound.
Which I'm not sure about this one, gang.
I don't know about how any of this works, and I also don't know how the first time, it's presumably Halpin bought the hair tonic, right? He was like, my hair tonic.
Or maybe he said, Sigma, could you go out and buy me some hair tonic? And Sigma's like, oud tonic? Is that what you said? Okay, sir, got it.
You wanted oud graft suspended in biological compound. Apparently oud... See, okay, this... So what we see now the doctor says something fucking crazy. Uh-huh. Which is, he says, our subconscious can make many shapes.
It came out in the red eye's revenge, in the rabid oud's anger... And then there was patience. All that intelligence and mercy, focused on oud Sigma. How's that hair loss, Mr. Halpin?
And then Halpin's, like, puts his head behind his hands, and then his head skin starts sloughing off.
Uh-huh.
And then he opens his mouth and pukes out spaghetti tentacles.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets
up. And now
up
he's an oud.
So, for a brief, horrifying moment, I thought the secret was that there is no oud. They make them. But no, that's just that they can do this.
Just a thing that they can do.
They are able to turn you into an oud if they poison you with oud graft for who knows how long.
If they just, like, kind of, like, scratch some dandruff into a cup of water and give it to you.
For many
If they
years,
do that enough times, you will you, become an oud.
At the most dramatic moments, right before you're about to shoot someone and kill all the oud. I just don't understand this, like... The shapes of our subconscious, the revenge of the red eyes, the anger of the rabid oods, which, by the way, the rabid oods also have the red eyes. I thought it was whatever. And then also the subconscious of the long-term machinations of Oud Sigma turning his boss into an oud. Okay, doctor. I just didn't think that. That one was a bit of a dud. You should have... should have written it in glyphs.
And then, there's more. I forgot about this part, is that Halpin opens his spaghetti mouth and just, like, hawks out his hindbrain.
Oh, yeah! That was good, I liked that.
And Sigma is like, do not worry, doctor. We will take care of him. He is one of us now. And Donna is like, I don't know what's going on anymore. Can I go?
Can I go home? And then the doctor's like, one sec. And he unplugs the bombs.
Oh, he just remembers the bombs. This is a weird moment, though, because Donna says, I feel like I can't tell what's right and what's wrong anymore. Which, I can understand that. Like, I do get where she's coming from here, where she's like, they literally took away his humanity, and now he's one of them, and is, like, part of the hive mind. But also, he was a villain, and now he will be, like, a nice, peaceful oud living free. Is that good?
That's good. I would become an oud if given the opportunity.
But then the doctor's response is what's so bizarre, which is that he says, in response to I can't tell right from wrong anymore, he says, that's all right, Donna. People who know for certain tend to be like Mr. Halpin.
If you know right from wrong, you're going to side on wrong all the time and become the president of slavery. This is when he unplugs the bombs, and then he asks Sigma if he can turn off the brain switch because he wants to be a part of this central historical moment, I guess. And
which is like, so weird, because Sigma is like, the honor is all yours, sir. Like, why? Why?
Why?
Surely Sigma should do it.
Yeah. So this is what I'm saying.
Or even Halpin can do it.
This is what I'm saying, right?
I think the doctor's the last person who should be doing this. It should not be his honor. He didn't do anything. You're right.
The doctor showed up on the day that the friend of the Oud's plan to have a plant lower the power of the energy field, breaking the Oud out of their like psychic containment, and then Halpin turns into an Oud, and they go down to the warehouse, and then Sigma or Ryder switches the thing off and frees all the Oud. I don't think, and this is not like me criticizing the episode, for the record. This is me saying... Mm-hmm. Sometimes the doctor doesn't need to be there for stuff to happen.
I think the criticism is not that the doctor didn't contribute. I think the criticism is that we will find that the doctor does not contribute and then gets all the credit.
But also what I'm saying is that the Doctor doesn't have to be the central active force in the universe.
Sure, I agree.
But yeah, then after that happens, they're like, we will sing your name for 1 billion years.
And then the Doctor just awkwardly leaves because he's like, well, I don't, I'm gonna go. You know, I didn't. Yeah. I don't feel like I really did really anything to deserve this that. Time. Bye. But yeah, so they disable the barrier. The Ood are all happy and free. They stop attacking people. They all hold hands in celebration of their new freedom and sing a new song of joy and liberty.
And then after the fact, the Doctor is like, well, I just got off the phone from the president of the universe. They're sending all of our Ood to the Ood sphere.
This is really bonkers because he's like, yeah, their song has broadcast to Ood across the universe. They can all hear it. They are all free and they're coming home. And look, if what I'm not saying is
that it's bad. That
the abolishment of slavery would disrupt the economy. Of course it would, and that's good. What I am saying,
they would just let them go back to the Ood sphere.
It's very surprising that everyone was just like, okay, oh, rats, all right, you can go.
Oh, they don't like it anymore? Oh, man, all right.
Fine, I guess that's good, but also, I was led to believe that the Empire was built on the back of slave labor, and now they're just like, oh man, the slaves realize they don't like it.
Well, yeah, it was built on the back of quote-unquote ethical slave labor. They wouldn't have done it if you disliked it.
Oh, you don't like this anymore? Okay. I just want to make it totally clear. I never intended to upset you. I have nothing but respect for you.
Get on a rocket and go home.
You're free to go. Home, buddy. And I love you. And thank you for your service. I'm saluting.
And then on his way out, the Ood hits his head and goes, "Dong!" And the joke is that Ood just do that.
Nice.
Yeah. But they do it with glyphs.
I don't get it.
You don't get the comedy of that they didn't have to install the voice changer. I'm explaining my own joke. They don't have
Oh, I'm sorry. You cut out. I'm realizing. Oh. You said, did you say dough?
Yeah.
Oh, you cut out a little and all I heard. I thought you just went, they go.
Oh, I made a funny joke and you didn't get to enjoy it. Damn it.
I'm sorry. Everyone else will get to enjoy it.
They probably won't enjoy it because you didn't laugh at it.
Sorry.
And then Sigma.
Here, wait, let me edit this in.
Yeah. Oh, that was too much laughter. Should be a little chuckle. Okay,
let me edit this in.
A chuckle.
Oh, here. Let me just do a few takes. No way, dude.
Now what you can do. Yeah, what you can do now is you can edit all of, you can edit all these together to make a laugh track.
There, I'll just put that one there.
Imagine a podcast, you listen to your favorite podcast, which is this one. No, imagine listening to any podcast and you listen to it and then the hosts have edited in a laugh track of them laughing.
It's that you make a joke and then you hear like 50 of me laughing all at once.
It's the worst thing.
But I'm doing weird laughs. Yeah. I'm going.
You're trying to make your laugh sound different enough to be able to create a cohesive laugh track. It's the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. Okay.
It's pretty good though. So Sigma, this is great, is that Sigma is like, thank you so much. You can stay if you want. There's room in the song for you, which is a very sweet line.
Yeah.
And the Doctor says, I've got a song of my own. And it goes, da 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 da. And Sigma said, this is nuts, because Sigma says, there's room in our song for you. And the Doctor says, that's okay. I already have a song of my own. And Sigma says, every song must end, Doctor, and yours will end soon. Which I think we cut. I think we get a flashback of that in the end of Time Part 1. But that is so nuts. Sigma's like, do you want to stay? No, I'm good. Okay, you're going to die soon, by the way.
By the way, did you get my message I sent to the lady on the bus?
Pork chops tonight.
So
Sigma and the rest of the Ood send them off with a song of thanks, where they go, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Doctor and Donna, and says, our children and our children's children will sing your names forever, the Doctor Donna. I like that they like call it. Them the Doctor Donna.
It's good.
It's fun. And then they just like kind of awkwardly get in the TARDIS.
Okay, bye. I mean, what do you do when
the end of the episode?
What do you do when
next time on Doctor Who, Martha's alive and she says, "Doctor, you have to come back to Earth," and there's alien stuff happening, and Sontarans are there, and Donna says, "Doctor, did you turn Martha into a soldier?" And then a Sontaran says, "Stare into the face of death."
And then he shows his funny Sontaran head. Maybe this is the first episode with Sontarans in it, or maybe it's not.
I liked this episode.
It was good. I was into
it. I wish that we had seen more of the Donna that I'm told exists, but I did like her just fine, and obviously that is no fault of the episode. I think it's good after the Satan Pit that the Ood got to become like people and not a basic slave race.
Yeah, I'm glad they got freedom. They built like a really cool civilization really, really fast.
I still can't tell if this was an apology for the first episode with the Ood or if this was plan the whole time, but I'd say this is a B-.
I was going to say B- too.
I was going to say B after I watched it, but I wasn't sure. I'm not surprised that it dropped down to a B-. I was a little iffy on it in the first place.
It's a good, but a B- is still good.
Yeah,
it's a good episode. It's just not my best episode.
It's not the best episode.
There was not enough glyphs in it.
It's a good episode.
I actually, for the record, glyphs aside, because I do love, you know, I love a good glyph. I do think that it was pretty funny that the year 4000, everyone's just like just as they are right now. They're just like, like in classic Doctor Who, if they had gone to a 4200 years in they'd all be wearing like big like diapers.
Okay.
Remember when they were wearing like these awful lampshades in the Dominators?
Oh yeah.
And then they put one of the lady companions in it. And it's supposed to be sexy. She's supposed to be
yeah. And then sexy I think they lampshade. Zapped Patrick Troughton's nuts for a while.
They zapped his nuts correctly. Because he couldn't do like he couldn't be.
He couldn't put a square peg in a square hole.
They were making him play. What's that game? What's
square
that
one peg and put, square hole
where's
simulator.
That one where you gotta put it's like con, it's not called concentration, it's called it's the one where you have to put all the shapes in the little holes before the they
I think
pop
that
out.
Is concentration or oh. perfection.
They make him play perfection,
and the commercial scared the shit out of me.
Why did it scare you so bad?
Do you not remember the commercial? Maybe you were a little too young for this commercial that I'm thinking of. It was so for anyone who doesn't remember this game, it was like not a board game, but like a toy game, you know, like when you're a child in the 90s kids. And it was like a board full of shaped holes, and you had little plastic pieces on sticks with different shapes that you had to try to put into all the holes of the same shape before the time runs out. And if you run out of time, then the board like blasts up and all the pieces go flying everywhere. And you go, oh, no. The commercial was a guy, if I remember correctly, he was wearing like a blue blazer with a yellow t-shirt underneath, which was the colors of the game. This is how much it was seared in my memory. And he was like, you gotta put the pieces in the holes in time, but take too long. And then he like leans back and with like a CGI effect, giant shapes like explode out of his chest and he goes like, ah!
That's pretty fucked up.
You don't remember that?
There's blood and gore.
No, I mean, they would just then, like, retract into his chest again, and he'd be like, you lose,
That's terrible.
But it freaked me the hell out. I think this is one of those 90s kids things. I think a lot of people were freaked out by the commercial.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Do we have to do this now?
Da, 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 da,
oh, yeah, we got companion da, da, awards. Da, da. I don't feel like anyone really got...
Yeah, this episode failed the Yaz test and the Doctor test.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine.
The Doctor didn't do anything.
The Doctor didn't really do anything. Let's see, did anyone die epically in a funny way? Not really.
Getting not eaten in a by, funny way,
getting
no.
Getting eaten by a big brain is kind of funny, but he died from it.
We didn't mention, by the way, there was a part when the Ood were rampaging and killing people. There was a part where there was an Ood, like, fully chomping a guy's face.
Yeah.
That only happened once, which is, it's weird if you only have one of them do it. Like, the other Ood are looking over at him like, whoa.
No companions did any killing. No companions took initiative, really. Donna didn't really take initiative at all. That's okay. Nah. Yeah, no awards this week. Any
no
gold
awards.
Stars? I'm gonna give a gold star to Sigma for the most fucked up and evil plan in the world.
We like Sigma.
I like Sigma.
Sigma balls.
No. I'm showing Sigma respect by not saying that.
But I'm talking about his translation orb. What are you thinking?
That would be Sigma's ball.
Yeah, that's what I said. Sigma's ball.
You said Sigma balls.
I said Sigma's ball.
Sigma's
ball. Yeah, I'm gonna edit this in. Sigma's ball.
That'd be a pretty funny episode title, by the way. Okay. And then Sam, are you gonna make us do this fun new segment?
I forgot about this, and I didn't make any sort of mental note of how David Tennant sounds. I don't remember how he talks.
Well, we have to introduce the segment. You have the name for it. This is your horrible idea.
Well, it was your idea, and then I expanded on it.
Oh.
This is which one was I going to go?
10 out of Tennant?
I think this is 10 out of Tennant.
That's pretty good. Do we have a
which is better, 10 out of Tennant or Tennant out of 10? I think I like 10 out of Tennant.
It has a more flow to it. Okay, yeah. This is where we have to do our best impression of the Doctor that week. I hate this segment so much; it's not very fun to do.
Yeah, except I completely forgot to like observe his voice.
Well, I've opened up our Tumblr to find our. We have an ask this week, but
we have an ask on our co-host as well.
I've got an ad. So, can you, Sam, in David Tennant voice, please say the phrase "stunning new camper vans"?
Oh my god, this is gonna be horrible because I don't know what he sounds like. I've seen like 20 episodes of him and I don't remember his voice at all.
He's
stunning
finished.
New camper vans.
Stunning new camper vans, please.
All right, I'm not. Look, everyone, you're gonna hear this come out of my mouth at the same time as me. I don't know what this is about to be. All right, I'm just gonna do something and see what happens.
This is your choice.
Stunning new camper vans.
Oh, hello. It's me, David Tennant.
I think I was kind of trying to channel when he went like, what?
Hi, it's me, Taco, from the Adventure Zone. Remember that one?
Well, look, this is the baseline. It gets better every week.
Oh, yeah, this is like when I tried to do Peter Capaldi voice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let me get warmed up, because he goes, Donna! 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 He does that
Donna,
thing with his,
Donna! Donna!
He's a Pokemon.
He's a Monty Python character.
Donna! Donna! Stunning new camper vans!
I think that is better than mine.
You have to sort of raise your upper lip. Kind of show the top of your teeth.
Stunning new camper vans!
The fuck was that?
I raised my upper lip.
Stunning
you told
new,
me to.
Stunning
I learned
new
it from watching
vans.
You.
Stunning new camper vans!
Oh no, it's Gruntilda.
I always thought it was weird that David Tennant just sounds like that in his episodes. Okay.
Yeah, thank God for the subtitles.
So we've got an ask on our Tumblr, and we apparently also have an ask on our co-host, but I have access to one. And I hate to break this open again, but actually, just kidding, I love it. This is from Tumblr user Eggpaints, who says, read the beagle size versus spider sized sorry, let me try that again.
I'll just say, by the way, there's been a lot of people weighing in on this since our last episode on Discord. And most people are siding with you, and that's fine. I'm okay with that.
I brought this to my fucking job and asked my coworkers, and they all agreed that a car-sized spider is way less scary. But, okay. I want to read this.
We're clearly just imagining the scenario differently,
and
that's
read
fine.
This,
and that's
I
want to
read this perspective because it had a thing that I was mad at myself for not talking about on the episode. The beagle size. This is from Egg Paints. Thank you, Eggpaints. He says, re the beagle-sized spider versus car-sized spider debate. I agree that the beagle-sized spider is more acutely scary compared to the car-sized spider. What am I going to do to a spider nearly as big as me? All I can do is hide. If it wants me dead, I'm probably going to die. This is like megafauna. Dog-sized spider? I can probably figure out how to kill it. Maybe I can trap it. But but realistically, this is my problem now. This is what I was saying, Sam. It's your problem.
I just fundamentally don't agree with that.
I'm the one who has to figure out what to do because a dog-sized spider is just small enough to keep away, corral, kill with means available to me. I can't just run away. It simply would never leave my house. I gotta do something. This egg paints understands this argument so much better than this is the words that I was not brave enough to say, but here's the thing that I want to oh wait, this doesn't say it here, but I want to bring it up because this is our forever argument.
You're thinking of your own opinion.
I feel like this is the end of the question. I feel like the spider size and spider speed are correlated. This we have no reason to believe this is a biological concept that, as far as I know, well, maybe it does, actually. The smaller the guy, the bigger the speed relative to their body size. I don't know. The car-sized spider seems like it'd lumber, take its time. But you know the beagle-sized spider would skitter and scurry all along at speed commonly found in nightmares. I agree. Also, the beagle-sized spider can hide from you and the car-sized spider cannot. You know where the car-sized spider is, Sam. But if
I
the beagle
see you and I hear you and I don't agree with any of this.
If the beagle-sized spider gets in your closet, it will be gone for a little while.
Your point?
That's scary!
Yeah, and I'm more scared of the thing that's gonna fucking crush and eat me!
But the beagle-sized spider can also probably kill you.
Yeah, but I think that the bigger thing is going to kill me worse.
I think the bigger thing is going to kill you better. And also, a beagle-sized spider can hide under your laundry.
Well, not the way I do it.
The bigger beagle-sized spider can hide in, like, look up in the top corner of your room where the wall meets the ceiling, and imagine you walk in your
room. I know
room
what a corner is, thanks. I'm not a fucking idiot.
This is Corner Guessers. And imagine a spider being there that is the size of, like, it's touching all the walls. It's that big.
Okay, now, Jordan, here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
I want you to look in literally any direction.
Uh-huh. Oh,
car honking outside.
Yeah,
it's or is it a spider?
Spider.
I want you to imagine, just imagine that you've lowered a VR headset onto your face. And now, in every direction that you look, there is one gigantic spider on top of you.
But that's like you said, that's a movie monster. That's not as scary. That's not as visceral. And it's not scurrying as fast. It's like what Egg Paint said. It's not as fast. I cannot run the spider.
It doesn't matter. It's on top of you. It's eating you now.
It's someone else's problem.
It's not. It's your problem.
I don't have to be
look,
the one to deal
with
this.
I need you to understand this, Jordan. It's your problem. You have to grow up.
I don't wanna.
You're being an entitled millennial socialist.
Millennials...
When it comes to giant spiders, I do not believe in this sort of rugged individualism.
They want to go to college for liberal arts.
Or I do
they
believe in it. I don't know what I think anymore.
They don't want to go to big spider killing school like the rest of my grandparents did. Can you read our co-host question? Thank you, Egg Paints, for your
yes,
insight.
This is from frenemy of the show, Sauce.
Thank you, Sauce.
After watching nearly 60 episodes of Doctor Who, do you consider yourselves fans of the show? If not, how would you describe your feelings for the show as a whole? There's a number of questions here, but I'll read the whole thing. Furthermore, what are your feelings on the fandom culture that has grown around it? I'll just spoil right now.
I do not see it.
I've been re-listening to some of your earlier episodes, and both of you expressed dismay at actually liking the show. Is that something you still feel is present, and how much of that is influenced by the more cringe moments of the show versus embarrassment about the Super Who Lot culture, which it played a part in inspiring? So let's take those one at a time. Do you consider yourself a fan of Doctor Who?
I think I said I was a fan of Doctor Who. I like it.
I wouldn't call myself a fan of Doctor Who.
I like watching it what does it mean to be a fan?
I would just say if we weren't doing this podcast, I would not watch Doctor Who.
I think if I...
I
think if we
stopped... I like watching it for the podcast, but I wouldn't watch it if we weren't doing this.
I think if we stopped watching this, I would still probably keep watching it until it got bad. I mean, I would start watching the new season, and if it was really bad, I would probably stop watching it. But
if we stopped doing the podcast today... Ooh, now there's an idea. No, just kidding. If we stopped doing the podcast today, I would certainly not watch any more Doctor Who, possibly ever, and I definitely wouldn't watch any of the new stuff.
I do like
watching it, and that does mean something.
you would just watch New Year's Rockin' Dalek Eve, or whatever that episode was called, over and over again.
For the question, how would you describe your feelings for the show as a whole, I would say that I've done two podcasts now with you, Jordan. One where I watched a show that wanted me dead, and one where I watched a show that was a friend... Who challenged me, sort of
the difference between a car-sized spider and a beagle-sized spider.
I don't agree with that at all. But I would say that with Doctor Who...
Calling Guy likes my friend, he challenges you, is so funny. It's a friend. It was someone who was your friend in fifth grade, and then when you went to middle school, you found out that it was in love with its adopted sister.
Which I'm glad to say I've never experienced in real life. But yeah, I think that I do like watching Doctor Who. I've done a number of podcasts. As far as I would say, favorite thing to watch when I say it's time for me to watch thing for
podcast.
Probably
Kingdom Hearts, right?
My favorite thing is Kingdom Hearts. I'm always excited to watch
it. Because you are a fan of Kingdom Hearts.
I would put Doctor Who in second place. I would put it above Kyle XY in terms of how much I look forward to watching
it. Oh yeah, for sure for me as well, because I don't need to see my friend from fifth grade become a weirdo.
I have no opinion on the fandom culture because I don't really know much of anything about it.
Whenever I get glimpses of it, I just flash back to being in like high school, and I was not a Doctor Who fandom kid, but I was a Doctor Who fan as a kid. But I do not see Super Who Lock. I do not see it. I don't observe it. I don't understand it.
I do want to talk about our feelings at the beginning of the podcast. Because I think that was true. I think that we were like, oh no, is this good?
We were like, oh no, is this good?
I think we did probably come into it like, oh, we're gonna shit on Doctor Who every week and make fun of it and how stupid and cringe it is.
My like thought about this show when I started the when I came up with the idea for it was that Doctor Who is a show where it's got like 90% bad episodes and 10% really, really, really good episodes. And now I'm realizing that it's more like it's got like 50% okay episodes. I don't want to have to do math here.
Yeah, when all the dust has settled, I'll look back over our spreadsheets and see what the average grade was. But I feel like by and large, we do tend to more or less like this show.
I think most episodes are enjoyable, if
they're not good.
And then sometimes the episodes are really good, and sometimes the episodes are really, really, really bad.
I think you never can predict which ones are going to be really bad.
It's so hard to tell.
Let me look through some of our lowest grades.
I can tell you what they are: The Doctor and the Widow of the Wardrobe.
Tooth
and Claw sucked shit. It was terrible.
That's just it. I wouldn't have guessed though that would be a shit episode.
Kill the Moon. What are our other? What was it, the Iceman?
Comet? The Snowman.
The Snowman.
Robot of Sherwood. We thought incorrectly, and then it turned out that we both really like it.
I don't agree with that, but okay, I haven't rewatched.
We actually don't have that many really low graded episodes.
Usually episodes.
Once Upon Time.
That one I actually went back and rewatched it.
Yeah, you upgraded that to a C-.
Oh, yeah. I think I'd upgrade it to a C.
Really? I can change that right now while looking at it.
No, it's fine. With no qualifying information. Sam, while we got the spreadsheet open, which doctor?
Oh, now there's an idea.
Which doctor?
Did we finish answering that question?
I think we did. I think we addressed everything.
Yeah. I thought it was going to be like a dumb cringe show, but there's definitely more to it, and there's good stuff about it that I didn't expect to be there. Anyway.
Which doctor?
Which doctor, you say? Well, I've really been working on my Jodie impression.
Yeah?
No.
Do you want to show us? Do you want to give us a sneak peek?
No, I was lying.
I could do it. I just saw Jodie making French.
I haven't watched that yet.
She was making French patisserie on
Celebrity Bake Off. Sorry, I interrupted.
Bake Off. And yeah, I could do it with the Jodie. They would not leave her alone about her playing Doctor Who, which I think is the fate that you suffer whenever you play Doctor Who.
Man, 7.26% chance of ever seeing Eccleston again.
And a 0.81% chance. This is amazing. The more episodes come out, this is a really funny thing where percentages will shift slightly. We'll have a slightly less chance of seeing Eccleston and a slightly more chance of seeing Gatwa every week when new episodes come out. But like not that much. But also
not that much.
But also by some.
How many haven't we seen?
There's only one.
I don't have. Oh, I meant of the entire show. Yeah. I don't have that stat on hand.
You need to have a how many episodes left counter.
Yeah, I thought I did, but apparently I don't. When was the last time we saw? Did we see Matt Smith recently? I think we did.
Matt Smith recently. Yeah, we saw him in.
Hyde was the last time we saw him.
That one was pretty good. It had the funny monster. The crooked man.
We haven't seen Jodie since Village of the Angels. I'm ready for a Jodie, and I'm also
ready for
an Eccleston.
You're ready for... We're gonna do... I wanna do Flux's Gambit.
I'd like just a regular Jodie episode, please.
There's no such thing as regular Jodie episodes. They're all the biggest... With Jodie?
No way!
They're all the biggest episodes you've ever seen in your life. All
right, what do you want?
Jodie! Jodie!
We're both on the Jodie train. Let's go!
Oh. Okay.
Yay! Hey! We get to see a thin lady.
This is the skin
series
lady
episode. One, episode two, The End of the World, where there's a lady who's like a millimeter thin.
It's the Moisturize Me episode.
Yeah, what was her name?
Evelyn?
I want to clarify, when I said Sylvia? Yay, we get to see a thin lady, I mean front to back, not side to side. She's quite wide. But very thin.
Oh, I remember her name by looking it up. It's Cassandra.
Cassandra. The paper-thin skin lady.
The skin lady. Fantastic.
That's cool. I'm excited. I remember her. I remember almost nothing about that episode, but I do remember her.
I remember where they go, and I'll tell you that for a first adventure with Rose, it is fucking crazy.
Okay, good. That's exciting. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah.
You see, at the end of the day, I like watching this show.
See, it's fun.
Yeah.
Well.
All right. That's a real boost. Yeah. I gotta work on my Eccleston voice. Do we have a name for that segment? I don't remember.
No.
Okay, great.
It's called Kill Yourself, a Christopher Eccleston
impression. Is that what we said? I think we might have actually said that.
I don't know what we say. I only know that our 13th Doctor one is called Je suis Jodi, which because that's so funny.
Oh, I said excellent Eccleston.
That's pretty good.
It's all right. Anyway, oh, we never came up with a Matt Smith one.
That's okay. We could do that another time.
Oh, you don't think that this is when we should be doing that?
No, because then we'll have to like be on the spot, and I don't do on the
folks,
spot.
Folks, we are on Patreon at patreon.com/poddingbros if you want to support our podcast, which you might, I don't know. $1 gets you a mildly special Discord role marking you as a friend of the show. You get all of our bonus content. Our scheduling, I think, is easier now, so we might be able to record our second episode on Terminus soon. Woo! I hope. We haven't talked about it until just now, because I forgot. We were out of town, both of us. We actually saw each other in person. That was weird.
That was weird.
Always weird when that happens. Just kidding. I had a great time. $5 gets you a pretty special Discord role marking you as a companion of the show. You get a shout out in the podcast. You can send us a message that will read in one of our funny voices or incredible impressions. $10 gets you an incredibly special Discord role marking you as an honorary member of House Misusa. But you get all that stuff. You can listen to the podcast while we record it. And we'll clap for you when we shout you out. Thank you to our $5 and $10 subscribers, Cassidy, Faustian Bargain Bin, Helga K, JCH, Roy, Stephanie Bowling, Stephanie Karen, Violet Magician, and House Misusa, Destry Hawk, H. Cade, Sauceworks, and Verdigris!
I love clapping.
You want to be the last one alphabetically, because then you get the,
yay!
Yeah. So, change your name to be after Verdigris, and then Verdigris will have to change their name to be after yours.
My name is Kyle XX.
Hello, my name is
Zizzix from Kyle XY.
Verdigris and Zizzix! Anyway, what else, Jordan? We're on co-host at Doctor, huh? I'm on co-host at Positive Stress. You can listen to my other podcasts, Zero to Zero. The episodes aren't all out, but we have finished recording our episodes on The Flash. Oh no, it sucked! On Sounds About Light, we have just done our single episode on the short game of Fragmentary Passage, and next time we will be starting Kingdom Hearts 3.
Uh-huh. Aqua, I've got to take my shirt off. It's the one thing I know also, about that game.
Also, I was on an extra credit recently about Wookiepedia, and I was also, very excitingly, on episode 400 of the F+, and we read from Not Always Right, and it was a lot of fun.
That's very exciting.
Yay!
You can find me on Kamurocho Radio. It's a podcast about the Yakuza game series, and we are just about done with the Yakuza. We've got one chapter left.
Jordan.
Yeah.
I finished Game's Bad. Like a Dragon Gaiden, the man who erased his name.
How did that make you feel?
I liked it. It made me excited for what will come next.
Yeah.
I think it made me feel like maybe these games might finally have good writing. And I think that as a fan.
I think Like a Dragon Gaiden is a game that is like, it's a good game, but it's also kind of a bad game, and then you finish it and it's a great game.
Oh, I didn't think at any point that it was a bad game, although I actually don't let Lauren hear me say that, because she heard me repeatedly yelling, "This game sucks, I hate this game."
I think it's a really good game, but I think the story is pretty eh until the very end of it, when the story is good.
That's funny. I liked the story. I hated playing it.
Oh, I like playing it.
Nobody cares about this, but also yeah. I started Infinite Wealth and it's good so far.
Infinite Wealth is so fucking picked back up.
But that's a different podcast that I'm not on.
You're not on that one. Okay.
What if it was called Micah Dragon? Like a microphone? Jordan? Is this thing on?
Oh, don't do that.
What if you weren't fucking saying anything?
What if instead of listening to podcasts, you just opened up your computer screen and there was just a bunch of glyphs, and then you could kind of get the whole content in 1 second?
All right, I'm going to have to try to deprogram Jordan before our next episode. Otherwise, we're going to sit down to watch the end of the world, and Jordan's going to be like, ew, people, gross.
Why are there no glyphs?
Where are the glyphs?
I've invented a much better way to watch TV.
You love the Satan Pit, though. Very glyph-centric episode.
There was a lot of glyphs in that, but they didn't really, like, give me all the content of the episode in 1 second.
Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for listening.
Well, hold on.
Well, wait, we have to say the thing. Sam.
You see what happens when we take any amount of time
off? Say the thing, so I can go.
May your life flow like a river. May your days smell sweet as a rose. May your nights be calm and still as a pond. May you be as lucky as an ace in a game of blackjack, Harkness. And may the doctor light your path through time and slurp spaghetti. With a fork.
I can't do it. Imagine I whistled really loudly. May Donna's whistling save the day.
Dr. Bye.
Dr. Bye.